Hello, everybody. Stu Smith here going live. I hope you are well this Monday morning, and you are using this Monday morning to get after it and build some momentum for a great full week of training or whatever you're doing, schooling, training, working, self-employed, just getting after it, because that's the key. Just keep getting after it. Right, whatever it is. So I had this article that I put into the description because I haven't talked about this one very much. And it's titled No Excuses Mindset, Get It Done. And that's a good thing to read on a Monday morning whenever sometimes you just don't feel like getting stuff done and you're kind of dreading the long work week. That happens to everybody, regardless of whether or not you love your job or hate your job or current situation. We're all human, and sometimes getting things done that you don't feel like doing makes you come up with excuses. Now, the big thing is, are your habits excuse-proof? And that's something that I wrote about in this article and some ways just to ask yourself some very important questions on whether or not you become good at skipping what you should be doing or not. Getting comfortable, being uncomfortable. Rain or shine, get it done. You know, there's so many different excuses that can occur, whether it's too hot or too cold, you forgot your gym shoes. You know, no one cares. Just get moving. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of neat things in here, neat articles, great pictures, working out in the rain, working out in the snow, crazy heat. But, you know, something you just got to realize that, you know, if you have something you need to do, if it is not in the schedule, it does not exist. So make sure you're writing it down, coming up with a to-do list. Maybe that is a desk calendar. Maybe it's one of these things. It's just a list of, you know, space to write down what you need to get done in a day. That's what I do. I'm kind of old school with that. I need to kind of see it, you know, over the course of a week. That's why I write my workouts the way I do, when you can open it up and you see the whole week put out in front of you, you know, like this, like 6 days of workouts sitting like that. And it just helps you budget it a little better in your brain and organize it a little. This is my old school method of my October to-do list. You know, the old desk calendar. Believe it or not, they still sell these things. You can get them at Office Depot. But yeah, man, check out this article. I think it's a fun one to read, and it might get you going there whenever you need it the most. I am writing an article today, and it's about trends in fitness in 2023. Where are people going? What are people doing? What are all the different age groups, different goals, regardless of age, gender, income, all of those things. So I'll be writing that one up today just to see. I found some pretty interesting information. You know, just basic stuff like if you're over 60, they tend to focus more on cardio. If you're 30 to 42, you're in that zone of focusing more, a little good balance between cardio and strength training. When you're younger, like under 30, you tend to focus more on strength training. So there's this weird evolution that occurs as we age, it appears, that you maybe start off with strength training, and then, this is a majority of men and women. This is over 50%. start off with strength training, and then they go into a modified version of that, mixing in some cardio, which I think is very healthy. I've been doing that forever. But then as you get older and when you need strength training the most, you tend to go more cardio altogether. So, you know, there's some things that we can do a little better on. One, good job just getting something done. So I'm not knocking you for that. But as we age, that's when our bones and muscles need to maintain strength, because if you don't have a strength foundation, it can go downhill real quick. But you also need, you know, the heart and lungs to be working efficiently. So you need to also have some, you know, aerobic training as well. All right, folks, I don't see any questions. You guys got any for me? I don't have a whole lot of time to go today. But I did have a couple of questions I saw on social media that I thought were pretty good that I'll add to the group. Let's see. Where was this? Now this was a CSS critique. Okay, so someone asked on a recent YouTube Q&A, they said they heard that Bud's Prep is back. I'm shipping soon, and I'm wondering if you can confirm if that is true. Bud's Prep has never left. They've always done Bud's Prep. They just moved it from Great Lakes to Coronado. The change that just occurred as of this month is they made it 12 weeks, and it's a true prep course, meaning they have coaches there getting you physically prepared post some deconditioning that tends to occur during boot camp. You have now have 12 weeks instead of 6 or 8 or whatever it was to get ready for Buds. And they're doing that with more coaches versus Buds instructors, which, you know, they have had some attrition in prep because Buds instructors were there running it versus the coaches running it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think if a Buds instructor is there yelling at you and you quit because of that before it even gets hard, that's on you, not necessarily the Buds instructor. But they want to make sure people are working out, getting in a good rebuilding phase of prep. And a lot of the SOCOM prep courses have started doing this. Air Force, I think, was probably one of the first ones. Marines do it pretty well as the Army SF. They do a really good job at adding their prep course and teaching important things like land navigation and stuff like that. So there'll be some water skills that are taught, you know, in this prep course, and then just your general fitness base that needs to be brought up to a high level, especially after boot camp. So I wanted to bring that one on because people think that Bud's Prep is gone. It just left Great Lakes and now it's in Coronado. So it's never been gone. It's just not part of the Great Lakes system anymore. It's part of the Bud's system in Coronado. So after boot camp, you will graduate boot camp and they will fly you out to Coronado. You will live in Coronado, check in, and go through 3 months of training. And basically, you're working out for a living, which is, if you've never done that, it's one of the best paychecks ever. So enjoy it, get in good shape, take advantage of it. It's not time to go out and party because it's easy. You want to get in really good conditioning, take your recovery seriously, and be at your best when you start day one of first phase 12 weeks later. All right. Let's see what we got here. Is it okay to work out for SEAL training alone, or would you say it's better to do it in a group? Well, I will tell you this. I was both. You know, luckily I, you know, went to the Naval Academy where I had another 20 people that wanted to go to SEAL training in my class alone, and then another 50 or 60 that wanted, you know, that were underclassmen or upperclassmen for me in different classes that wanted to go to BUDS or were going to BUDS. So I always had somebody to train with, unless I just went out on my own. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, sometimes you don't have a group to go do a swim or a long run, or a lift for that matter. In fact, every time I went home, I never, you know, I did a lot of training on my own. So my advice is to be able to do both, because one, you need the self-motivation to do it on your own. And two, you need the group dynamic of working together as a team if you can learn how to do that, whether that is, you know, having some form of team event, fireman carries, you know, races, you know, all of those things just going to make you better. I'm on week 11 of phase one. Which one do I do next? Phase one, Navy PST, phase one. Which do I do next? I'm a 916, 918 swim, 4 mile at under 30. That's good. I want to go to SWCC. Going to the recruiter in January. I think you're ready to go to the recruiter with those scores for sure. I'm assuming your PST numbers are good with pull up, push up, sit ups. That's going to depend on what you do next. So if your strength is solid and you got a good load bearing activity history, you may not need to go to phase two and do the stuff that is going to be more rucking and stuff. You may need to stick at phase one and do that again, depending on your muscle stamina scores. Because I would say phase one is really focused on your endurance and muscle stamina to crush that PST. And phase two, three combo of that trio is really more focused. It's still focused on maintaining your calisthenics and cardio at a higher level, like with 4 mile runs and longer swims, but it also adds rucking in there, adds some lifting in there, some overhead presses to get pretty prepared for logs and boats. So there's more to it on the strength side that you need to develop to get through the training, but it also depends on your athletic history, your current scores, where you see your weaknesses are. Because my advice is this: you're going to the recruiter in January. That means you got to be crushing the PST when you walk in that door. If you do that, they will take you very seriously, and you'll probably be shipping out in a few months whenever you're ready to leave. During that time, you can focus on maintaining your PST scores and focus on some of the specifics that you're going to endure during SWCC training. So if you're going SWCC, I would probably go with the SWCC training program. There's one on StuSmithFitness.com that's a little more specific to the actual training that you're going to do and prepare for the tour and things like that. How many classes are in 1 year? Also, usually, how long is DEP? Good question. There's usually 4 to 5 BUDS classes a year. They may delay this last class a little bit because prep is going to be extended another 4 or 5 weeks. So it may be just 4 this year. Instead of having a December start class, they'll probably start in January. I don't really know. I don't really look at all the dates and see how many are coming. Your recruiter would probably have that information. And they'll definitely be able to tell you how long how long your standard delayed entry program is. But I will tell you this, delayed entry program is really kind of dependent on you and your schedule, right? And your ability. So first you got to get a contract that will either take one PST or it may take 15 PSTs. I don't know. I don't recommend it taking that long. I would recommend getting your PST squared away before you even talk to the recruiter. That's just my advice I give everybody. Otherwise, you're going to spend a lot of time in delayed entry program. If you want to ship fast, go in there, crush your PST. You're out of there in a couple of months. Now, if you're a high school kid and you go talk to them junior year, let's say you talk to them July in between your junior and senior year, delayed entry program could last as long as a year, and you ship out the following year after you graduate high school. So it can literally last a month to two or 12. But I don't think you can go longer than 12 months in the delayed entry program. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think you can take longer than a year hanging out in the delayed entry program. I don't recommend it anyway. My push-ups are 88, 94, 20. Excellent. Excellent. 6'1", 195 at 21. That's awesome. You know, that was my body type as well. Football, power lifter. I weighed 195 going to Bud's. Probably picked up a few pounds after Hell Week. Got up to 200. But that's where I was. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't touch a weight prior to Bud's for a year because I needed to get in calisthenics and cardio shape. So given that background, I will say you're going to be strong enough and probably still one of the stronger guys in your class, physically stronger, and your weakness is going to be running, you know, for longer distances. And I would continue to work on your running, your aerobic base, make that 29.4-mile timed run easier so it's not a gut check. You know, see if you can break 29 and get into the 28-minute zone. I personally recommend people to, for 4-mile timed runs, to try to get 28 minutes. That's a 7-minute mile. Learn how to do that. Master that pace. It's not setting any world records for running. It's very doable for a non-endurance athlete, and it just takes a little time. So use your time wisely and get ready to crush that all the endurance activities, because there's a lot of them. And then after SWIC training, you can get back in the weight room and get jacked and go drive cool boats and shoot big guns. It's a good gig. You'll like that job. All right, where are we? Any more questions? Let me see. Thought I had a few more here. I'm just pulling them from my DMs if I don't see them pop up on the comment section over here on YouTube. All right, here's a good one. I'm at a different service academy. He's at West Point and not at the Naval Academy, looking to cross commission and go to SOAS. I know this is kind of very a smaller subset of the military, but listen to what some cool things that you can do in it if you're not aware. So he's an Army guy at West Point wanting to graduate West Point and join the Navy right after graduating West Point. That can happen, and you can be a Navy pilot, you can go submarines, you can be on ships, you can go to Buds even. So do you have any insight on how to strengthen my packet and what optimal PST scores are? yeah, you know, for officer PST scores, you're going to need 8 minute swim, sub nine run. If you can get between 90 and 100 on pushups and sit-ups and 20 plus pull-ups, you're going to be solid. Class rank does matter a little bit, but you know, it really depends on your major. You know, if you have an easier major and poor grades versus a really hard major on, and you know, I don't want to say poor grades, but let's say just passing grades. All right, so let me do this. Somebody just sent something. You're not looking, Mike. Here, follow this link. It's right here. Mike said he couldn't find the SWIC book on the website. StuSmithFitness.com. Click the Spec Ops side, and you'll see it. It's right up there up front. But anyway, so here's what you can do. So you can actually come to the Naval Academy for a weekend and go through the BUD screener, which is what I would recommend you doing. So 2 weeks from now, there's the BUD screener where they'll bring out first phase BUDS instructors from BUDS, and they'll put 100 midshipmen who are juniors and cadets through basically 36 hours of what some really bad events of BUDS, just to kind of test them and see how they do. That usually takes about 100 people, drops it down to about 50. They do it again in the spring, usually get about 60 people, drops it to about 30. And then you have about 80 people that they send to SOAS. I think they actually send about 70 to SOAS from the Naval Academy. Maybe, I'm not sure where West Point gets numbers in or if they even do, but it may be part of the Service Academy numbers that go to SOAS. And then SOAS stands for Seal Officer Assessment and Selection. They go through 2 weeks of training there where they will get told yes or no eventually, whether or not they can come back or not. So at that point, you will know by November of your senior year if you get to go back to SEAL training. If you do get to go back to SEAL training, then there's this one-to-one ratio thing that tends to happen pretty smoothly, where a cadet from West Point wants to go Navy, and a cadet or a midshipman from the Naval Academy wants to go Army, and they cross commission. Happens all the time. In fact, we've had admirals in the SEAL teams that came from the Air Force Academy before. I can think of a couple of West Point guys who visited the Academy and are SEALs now over the last 10 years. So, yes, definitely happens, and it's not impossible to do that. So I know it's kind of a smaller group subset of the military in general, but there are things like that can happen. Same for the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, which is probably one of the best kept secrets of all service academies, because if you go there, you are basically in an ROTC program that can go through for any surface or any service, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and you can do whatever job you want out of there if you qualify for it and are a good candidate to do it. Or you can drive merchant ships and make about 120 grand right after graduating college. So it's up to you. It's up to you. Tips for treading the brick. If you have not read this article, I would recommend it. And it's all about treading and mobility. I probably hand this article out to people all the time. I say, go to Google, type treading, mobility, Stu Smith, and you will see this article, because your ability to tread strong is is probably 100% an issue of your hips, knees, and ankle mobility. Now, you might be able to do it a little bit, but you're missing out on 40 to 50% of the actual kick that allows you to push down so you go up. So read that article, start practicing egg beater. Next thing you know, you're going to crush any treading, whether that is with weight or without weight. Does a college degree that you get have any effect on getting a contract, engineering STEM versus business or exercise science? No, it does not. Now, I'm assuming you're talking about enlisted contracts because that's how they discuss the whole process. If you're enlisting, you get an enlisted contract from your enlisted recruiter. If you want to go officer, that's a whole different animal, and you need a whole different recruiter. You need an officer recruiter. You go through SOAS. You get selected. It's a competition. Absolutely. The type of degree does matter, but it matters just on paper, like overall, how is your resume looking? Are you a smart guy? Did you have some leadership experience in college? Did you play a sport? Were you a team captain? You know, D1 or D3, you know, all of those things matter in a competition to get those slots to go to SOAS. But my advice is to submit PST scores, submit your resume, do all that stuff. See if you get a shot to go to SOAS. If you don't go to SOAS, you don't get a shot to go to SOAS, enlist. And then take that degree with you as you enlist. Learn to be an enlisted SEAL or whatever you're wanting to be. And then later on, if you so prefer, you can go to OCS as a SEAL enlisted guy and come back an officer. So a couple of different things. Stuck at 4 to 5 reps body weight bench press for months. Do you recommend doing bench press daily? Never recommend doing bench press daily. No. I hope you haven't been doing that because that's going to probably keep you at 4 to 5 reps for months or see negative results and get injured. So your body needs to grow, and body weight bench is no joke. I mean, one, you got to build up to body weight bench for most people. You might be able to do a lot of push-ups, but your body weight bench may be weak. Then you got to start building strength, and soon that strength takes another level of muscle stamina, right? So now you have it's like pull-ups, right? If you think about pull-ups, that is the heavy weight lifting of calisthenics. You're lifting your body weight over that bar. Your first one's a strength exercise. Your 20th one is a muscle stamina endurance exercise, but it has a strength base to it. So you definitely need to, I mean, probably do bench press 2 to 3 times a week, but never daily. I don't recommend doing calisthenics like that daily for too long, just because of the volume goals that you need to do that. Your body needs to recover a day in between, at least, from you doing these kind of high repetition, high volume, high, you know, moderately high weight activities. Do you believe it's possible for someone who is not a U.S. citizen to get an age waiver if he gets a citizenship? Yeah, that's possible. You just got to be a good candidate. Here's another question. I'm doing your PST prep for BUDS. Week 3, day 1 has 10 supersets. I know what a superset is, but I wanted to clarify it's not repeating all of these 10 times. In a superset, and the abs 5 times, then dips 5 times. Yes, so here's the deal. So this little circuit set is pull-ups, you do 10. Abs, you do 50. And that's like flutter kicks, leg levers, sit-ups, whatever you want to do, 50 reps. Dips, you do 20. And multi-joint dumbbells, you do 10, which is bicep, overhead triceps. You do 10 of those. Then you repeat that 10 times. And that's, you just go through a circuit. Boom, 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 10 rounds. And so at the end of that, you get 100 pull-ups, 500 abs of choice, which as long as you make it a variety, that's cool. In fact, you can also make it a 50-second plank for half of them. So you do 250 different abs mixed with 250 seconds worth of plank. You do 200 dips and you do 100 bicep overhead triceps. Yeah, that's what that means. 10 supersets. Do that 10 times. Now, that doesn't mean everything on that chart, you're going to repeat it 10 times, right? Because if there's a line or a space in between, that 10 times no longer applies. And you do, like, say you go run a mile or two. You don't do a mile 10 times also. Yeah. But anyway, that's a good, it's a good little high rep. That's one of those high volume things that you definitely don't want to do every day. That's some high volume there. Let's see. You guys have any more questions for me? I do have a big article I got to write today, and it's going to require a little research, so it might take me a little more time. So if you guys have a question, send it. If not, I'm going to have to go. And while you guys decide on that, I'm going to do the closing now. If I missed your question, I apologize, but email me. You can email me, DM me. I will answer them. Might even answer them on this if you send them to me, just like I did for a couple of those questions. But I'll also type an answer for you. But yeah, email me, Stu@stusmith.com, if you have any questions that you think about later in the day. But check out stusmithfitness.com and use the Live15 code. You save 15% on your books and ebooks if you want to crush some fitness tests and selection programs. I got the answer over there. Oh, don't forget TikTok StuSmith50 or my reels. Got a ton of combat swimmer stroke videos. And if you come back tomorrow, we will do some combat swimmer stroke video critiques that are submitted by you guys. And we'll try to see what we can do. All right. I guess that's it. Guys, I will see you guys tomorrow, 9:30, same time. Have a good one.